We welcome you. You're warmly welcomed. And we trust you'll be strengthened and encouraged through the Word of God. And it's lovely to have you listening in with us. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been looking at the beautiful heart and mind of Christ. Is that what we've been looking at? If you weren't here last Sunday, ask for a recording of that. That will help you. So, Philippians 2 and verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the Father's plan is to have our minds the same as Jesus' mind, to have us thinking the way he thinks. Is that lovely? That's what he wants. He wants my thinking to be the same as Christ who's in me. The plan of the Father is that I be shaped into the likeness of Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's shaping and molding us into the likeness of Christ. And he's not made that difficult because he's put Christ himself into us with his mind, with his heart, with the way he thinks. Amen? The call is for me to line my thinking up with his. The call is for me to see things the way he sees things. And then I'll be truly one spirit with him. Praise God. We are one spirit with him. But we're coming to the fullness of that oneness of spirit. So I don't want my thoughts to be different from his. I want them to be the same. Because then I'm going to be in a sweet harmony with Jesus. Is that lovely? Amen. Amen. He wants that you and I would be the sweet aroma of Christ wherever we go and whomever we're with. Is that lovely? That we are the sweet perfume of Jesus wherever we go and whomever we're with. Is that lovely? That's the plan. That's the plan. So we're going to explore this little bit together. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I can take on Christ's way of thinking and seeing things. The Father wouldn't have said, let this mind be in you, if it were not possible for me to have my thinking lined up with Christ's thinking, seeing his approach to life, and my having the same approach to life as he has. Amen. You see, Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you and I are the product of whatever we think in our hearts. So if I've got bitterness in my heart, I've got anger in my heart, I've got resentment in my heart, out's going to come the bitterness. Out's going to come the resentment. Out's going to come the anger. Can you see it? If I have peace in my heart, I'm at peace with God. God's at peace with me. Out comes peace wherever I go. My speech is full of his peace. Can you see it? Praise God. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is working all this to happen, to take place. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So we're looking at this mind and this heart of Jesus here together this morning. Philippians 2 and verse 6, this is Jesus, who being in the form of God, the Amplified says, who being one with God. See, Jesus is fully God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, fully God, fully one being with the Father, co-equal with the Father, the Holy Spirit, did not hold on to his rightful position, equal to God. Jesus was prepared to leave his glorious position in paradise, heaven, and come right into the middle of a wicked and an adulterous world. I mean, wow. I mean, nothing could be further from what would be tasteful to God. Nothing could be further. I mean, the scripture says the Father can't even look on sin, let alone come down right into the middle of it. So he left the peace, the glory, the beauty, the contentment, the joy, the praise of heaven. He left that to come right down at his total inconvenience, right into the world, right down to save us and to put our interests, our salvation before his. This is the mind of Christ. But it was his joy to do this. This is what's so wonderful. You see, when we find this mind of Christ and when we find this way of living, it's a life full of joy. You see, he said because of the joy held out before him, he embraced the cross. He was filled with the joy of seeing another person blessed at his expense. This is the mind of Christ. Now, we see this same spirit and same work clearly among us. Is that lovely? We see among us, we just have to look around to see how many of us were set down what we would like to do in order to come and help. Is that right? A beautiful spirit we can see among us. It's lovely. And so the Lord is just, he's just heightening our focus to this so that we can see very clearly what our mind and what our thinking should be. Is that lovely? I drove up past the building here one winter's evening, and it was quite an unpleasant evening, and I found somebody here sweeping up and tidying up outside. Nobody knew they were there. I happened to see them sweeping up and tidying up. They weren't part of a team or anything else. They just decided to come and do that. Is that lovely? That's somebody who is carrying an interest beyond their own interest. I mean, that particular night, it would have been a lot more comfortable at home. But this is just a picture of the lovely spirit of Christ Jesus, the lovely mind of Christ that he wants us to have. Look at verse 7. He made himself of no reputation. Wow. He made himself of no reputation. He who was the center of all adoration and praise from all eternity comes to the earth as one of the crowd. Jesus. Step right in to be like us in every way. You couldn't tell Jesus in a crowd which one was him. No, you had to have somebody who knew him to point out that's him over there. He was not looking for position, looking for a name for himself. There's no palace there. There's no servants. There's no privilege. There's no good looks. It says there was nothing about Jesus that we should have been attracted to him. I mean, well, you couldn't describe anyone like that. There's some feature somewhere that you say is attractive about some person you're looking at, but not Jesus. You can forget all about the Hollywood type stars that have played Christ, because he came down as an ordinary. He stepped in so that he could get alongside us to save us and to help us and to show us the way. He says, let this lovely mind be in you. Let this lovely mind be in you that was in Christ. Verse 7 continued, he made himself of no reputation. He did the work. He made himself of no reputation. Jesus agreed to do that. Didn't have to do this. He deliberately chose the opposite of the world's values. I mean, Jesus upturns every value that's in the world. Every single value, he upturns it. There's a very wealthy businessman who he owns a vast fortune and a whole empire and everything else. And he owns a skyscraper building. And he has his photograph hologrammed on the whole front of the building. I mean, how sad is that? How desperate for notoriety and attention and is that, that you'd go to those kind of lengths? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Praise God. You see, we're not pulled into the rat race of this world, trying to climb up and do something. You know, we're not pulled into that. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. I've got the wrong reference here, but I'll find it for you again. It's not Matthew 20:28, so it's probably... Pardon? Oh, it's up. Oh, it's 20. Matthew 20:20? Matthew 20:28, yeah. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. Wow. See, this is the beautiful Spirit of Christ. At one stage, it's worth reading around that section. It's worth reading around that verse there. But Jesus said at one stage, he said, who's the more important? He said, the person sitting in the restaurant having the meal or the one who's serving? Well, if you give the world's answer, you say, well, of course it's the one at the table with the wealth and the position and the power. And Jesus said, in the kingdom, it's the other way around. The important one is the one who's serving. He says, I've come among you as one who serves. Beautiful. Beautiful Spirit of Christ. Beautiful Spirit of Christ. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ. It's lovely. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Notice he's doing the work here. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. He humbled himself is the opposite of all pride. Is that right? I mean, there's not one trace of pride in Christ. There's not one trace of selfishness in Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient. Now, this is true humility. Humility is not me going round with a very humble sort of attitude. No, that's not humility. Humility is to be obedient to somebody over you. That's what humility is. So he placed himself lower than the Father. He's co-equal with the Father, and he placed himself in the lower position with the Father as his Lord. Can you see it? This is humility. I mean, he's co-equal with the Father. Jesus said at one stage around Calvary, he said, I could call on so many legions to come right now, and you'd be wiped out. But no, he emptied himself of that privilege and became ordinary. He placed himself lower than the Father by living a life of obedience to the one who he acknowledged as greater than he. He became a man, took on a physical body, and he said, Father, you're greater than me, and I live under your lordship. Can you see it? Beautiful. This is the Spirit of Christ. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ. Have a submissive, respectful, obedient heart to Jesus and the Father. This is true humility. It's lovely. Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek towards God. The submissive towards God, the humble towards God, they're the ones shall inherit the earth. Praise God. Praise God. I choose. You probably have chosen the same. I choose not to be my Lord. I choose not to be Lord over my life. It's a choice. I choose to have one greater than me, my Lord, over me. Can you see it? This is the true Christian life. It's the only safe place. I mean, see, as you go on, when you start off, you think you know a lot. And the further you go, you think, Lord, I know nothing. I haven't even started on this. When I look at you, Jesus, I've not even begun on this journey. Wonderful. Wonderful. You see, the spirit of the world is no one's going to tell me where I can park or where I can't park. No one's going to tell me what I do with my money. No one's going to tell me what I do with my sex life and private life. It's my business. This is the spirit of the world. Is that right? Our spirit, the spirit of Christ, is to be under the lordship of Christ, under the lordship of the Father, to do with every aspect of my life. It's the true freedom. It's the true, beautiful place. You see, the world is full of unteachable know-alls, and we were all part of it. He rescued us out, and the further we go, the less we know we know. Praise God, because he's so vast. Now we look at two verses in Peter, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. This is quite interesting as well, or continuing on from this. Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit ourselves to one another. Now, what could that possibly mean? Ready to learn from somebody else. You see, it. I'm trying to think of the words that's in Philippians. Conceit. Conceit is in there. This is totally different. This spirit. I'm ready to learn from somebody else. Shirley and I were up in London some time back, and St. Martin's in the Field Church there has got a lovely crypt downstairs, and you can go in there and sit down and be quiet and pray. It's lovely. You can't hear any of the sound of the traffic and everything down there. And there was a tramp down there, and you know, you can think, well, you know, I've nothing to learn from a tramp. I don't want any of his type of lifestyle. Anyway, we said hello to the tramp. He said, the Lord's got these houses everywhere, and there's always somewhere for me to live. I thought, wow. Be submissive to one another. So beautiful. You see, never of such a place. You can learn something from everyone. Praise God. From everyone. Philippians 2, verse 3, into the verses, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. It says, think more highly of another than you do of yourself. You see, it's easy to judge. We've all done this. It's very easy to judge. Well, you think they'd know better by now. And you think they'd have got their act together and, you know, snapped out of all of that and got, you know. Very easy to judge, but you see, we've not walked in the other person's shoes. We haven't got their makeup, emotional and physical makeup. We haven't been through the experiences they've been through in life. Can you see it? We're in no position to judge. But rather, what could I learn from this person? What useful thing could I be taught from them? And part of all of that is respecting the difference. I mean, are we different? Boy, we're very, very different. And so we can respect the difference somebody else has and the way they choose to live and the way they choose to order things. We can respect that. And perhaps we can learn something from it. Can you see this lovely spirit? 1 Peter 5, verse 5, be clothed with humility. We're clothed with Christ. who is the most humble, submissive, obedient servant that's ever been in, ever seen. Wonderful Jesus. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humility before God and people bring grace flowing into my life. That sounds good. That sounds good, doesn't it? 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Is that lovely? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You see, a lot of the beauty that takes place among us here is actually hidden. It's between different ones of us and God. He's seen things that are hidden from everybody else. So he's seen when we've set aside time to pray for people, and we've taken people to our heart and we've prayed for them, and we've done things that nobody else knows about or has seen. Does the Lord say there's a great reward for that? Hallelujah. And so this beauty, this humility, part of it will be hidden from view. But it's our lovely heart attitude before the Lord, before the Father. He knows when we have made him Lord and when we're obedient to him and we do as he asks. He sees all that, and so he gives grace to the humble. Praise you. Now, it says in Philippians 2, verse 9, that God has, this is talking about Jesus, highly exalted him. Is he now in the highest place in the universe? I mean, I'm very thankful that the one who rules, reigns, governs the whole universe, everything will be placed under his feet, is the most humble being in the universe. He represents the Father. The Father is the very same. He's of a humble, submissive, teachable, beautiful spirit, the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Their relationship together is the perfect model of all relationships, because each one gives the ground to the other. Each one gives the priority to the other. Is it lovely? It's lovely. We're exploring this beautiful heart of Jesus that we might live this beautiful heart of Christ, that we might mirror this beautiful heart of Christ. Ever so lovely. Praise God. So Jesus has been exalted to the highest place. When we humbled ourselves and became saved, got born again, when we said, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I humble myself before you and I need your forgiveness and I need you to wash me and clean me, guess what happens? We get exalted to the highest place with him. Is that wonderful? As soon as we humbled ourselves and come in salvation, does the scripture say he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus? But what's the point of that? The point is not that we are now taking a superior attitude because of where we're positioned, but rather that we are seated beside the one who is the most humble, submissive, gentle servant, that we might do the very, very same on the earth. Can you see it? It's wonderful. I can, by God's power, live Christ's mind and heart by the powerful person of Christ Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit in me. It's possible for me to live this beautiful life. I can set down my own interests for the blessing of somebody else around me. I can now live unselfishly. It's lovely. You see, the further you get from self, the freer you'll be. The further you get from self, the more joy will be in your life. The further you get from focused on you and all your deal and all what's happening with you, the further you get from that, the more joy. Reaching out to somebody else, thinking about somebody else, considering somebody else over and above your own self. I can now do this. This is the life of the Spirit. This is the true life of the Spirit. Praise God. I can live looking to promote Christ and not myself. Wonderful. I mean, if anyone's going to get the fame, he gets all the fame. Anyone going to get the worship, he gets all the worship. Anyone going to get the thanks, he gets all the thanks. This is how we live now. It's wonderful. Praise God. I can live in humble obedience to Jesus and the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can live this way. Jesus was tempted to come out of that way of living. Is that right? Did the devil offer him some alternatives where he could be head, top man over all the kingdoms of the world? I mean, it was a total joke. Being offered that when he already is Lord of all. Praise God. Praise God. So, summing up, perhaps you can sum it all up in Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Does that about sum it all up? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests. Was Jesus prepared to set down his own preferences? But also for the interests of others. Now, it's important to note with that scripture that Jesus did look out for his own interests. Look at the scripture again. Philippians 2 verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests. Jesus saw to his own interests. I need to be in prayer. I need to be separate from all this. I need to be with the Father. His own interests were to follow the instructions of Heavenly Father. Can you see that? And he was making sure to do that. So the scripture says, you see, that we're to have our own house in order. Is that right? And peace in our own homes before he can raise us up to go beyond that. Is that right? Praise God. So yeah, I've got to look after my own interests. I've got to have things in a good order and have things blessed at home. And now I can go out beyond that through the love of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We are to have our homes and families and devotional life in a good order. And from that base, looking out for those that I'm called to help beyond me. Is it lovely? This is lovely. This is the beautiful Spirit, the beautiful Spirit of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're filled with the person Christ Jesus, who emptied himself of all privilege and advantage and made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, that we might all come into the privilege of heaven. He put us before himself. His beautiful Spirit and his lovely heart will work in us, putting the interests of others first, giving us a true humility to take the lower position to serve another. And we will find such joy of heart in this. Praise God. Did Jesus find that to give was far more blessed than to receive? Did Jesus find this? Did he discover this? You'll discover it as well. So, Father, I thank you for beautiful fruit already among us. Thank you, Jesus. Beautiful fruit already among us. What about mums looking after children? My Lord. Talk about setting down your own interests for the interests of others. Beautiful. See, you're mirroring this very principle there, you mothers that are looking after children. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that there is much beauty around in and through our lives, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're calling us to a beautiful focus here. Beautiful focus that we might have the same heart. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. I mean, imagine in a couple, if each one of them is looking to serve the other. Wow. I mean, you've got a total revolutionary home right there. Is that right? We want to outdo the other person in serving. That'd be beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And so you'll be so blessed. And if you serve, guess what happens? You reap back. People want to do things for you. And I've tried a little experiment. We go out driving. Just see how many people could you give the right of way to? How many pedestrians could you say, cross here? And and guess what starts to happen? Everyone starts to make way for you in the traffic. I marvel at this. I thought, I'm never going to get out of this. And somebody pulls right back and flashing lights and come on, because you're reaping back the lovely, the Spirit of Jesus into your life. I mean, look at what Jesus, look at the harvest he now has. Praise God. I mean, the whole world is worshiping him, Jesus. Look at what he's reaped back. Because he found this wonderful truth, this wonderful freedom. Jesus, thank you. And Lord, we're learning from you, Jesus. And anyone willing to learn from Jesus? We're willing to learn from you. Anyone willing to have attitudes changed? We're willing to have attitudes changed. Thank you, Jesus. He speaks such wonderful things to us. He speaks such wonderful, helpful things to us. Thank you, Jesus. If I was a bit critical in my thinking about somebody, and the Lord said to me, supposing I started to do that to you, supposing I started to point out all the shortcomings to you, how would you feel? I thought, oh, be destroyed. I mean, you'd be completely gone. But you see, his wisdom causes you to change on the inside. Is it wonderful? Praise God. Well, we thank you, Lord, for being with us today, Lord. And we bless you, all of you listening in. And we trust that you get a lovely, fresh, new sight of the heart and the love of Jesus for yourself and to live it out through others. Amen. Praise God. If you want to have a couple of moments, just quiet.